Chapter 8.
You did what?
Mariah shrieked and clenched her fists as a dark red flush colored her cheeks.
You lost her!
Dual flashes of white light illuminated the room, and then Juniper and Anya appeared next to Sky and Nike.
You lost Tira?
Juniper gasped as she rushed over to clutch Mariah's hand. The three spirit sisters glared daggers at Barrington, who had clambered up to the furthest corner of his bed to escape their wrath. He trembled as he nodded his head.
You idiot!
Anya thundered.
You're a disgrace to the nobles of the Sword's Past! You make a mockery of your ancestry!
The sisters' rage was nearly palpable, and I could feel the sparks of Juniper's energy start to crackle in the air around us. Anya's natural light glow radiated from her body, though Mariah looked far from ready to heal Barrington.
It wasn't my fault!
Barrington insisted and jabbed his finger at his sister.
It's hers!
Oh, that's great, Barry,
Anastasia scoffed.
It's my fault you wanted to take over Noble of the Sword duties, go on missions, and forgot to bring the damn sword back with you.
Don't call me that, her brother hissed. And it is your fault. You let me win.
That shit doesn't matter right now, I said with a scowl. What matters is the proximity of the Sword of the Land to the Breach, which means...
Tira's dangerously close to the Demon King,
Mariah gasped and covered her mouth.
We must go find her.
I agree, I said. We can't risk leaving her anywhere near the Breach.
What in the God's name is a Demon King?
Barrington demanded.
I was probably attacked by some no-good mage who wanted to steal my gold. The stupid sword is just sitting in the forest somewhere, I'm sure.
Stupid sword?
Juniper sputtered before her eyes darkened.
You're incredibly lucky our rules forbid us from killing another spirit's master.
Mine don't, I growled as I leaned in closer to the disgraced noble. If you can't speak about the noble sword with respect, then you don't speak at all. Barrington cowered under my harsh stare and pressed his mouth into a thin line. He knew he'd fucked up by losing the sword, but he'd only made matters worse by talking about the noble sword without a care in the world. I wanted nothing more than to tear him apart for upsetting Mariah and her sisters, but for now, I needed him. I needed Anastasia, too, but I'd have to talk to her about the ceremony later. At the moment, finding the Sword of the Land took priority. We had no way of knowing what would happen if the Demon King got a hold of it before we did, and if it gave him power like it did me, I had no clue how I'd be able to get it back. Long story short, we couldn't risk it. We needed to find the noble sword before it got to the Breach.
Barry, I'm sorry about the mission,
Anastasia finally said once everyone calmed slightly.
But the noble sword is incredibly important, and it can't get into the wrong hands, including whoever this Demon King is.
Exactly, I said, with a nod to her before I turned back to Barrington. So I need all the information you can give me about your mission. Where, who, what, why, the works.
All right, Barrington sighed. I was sent an anonymous letter about a beast that had been attacking people. It was last seen in a village on the northern edge of the Laughing Forest.
What kind of beast?
Lyca interjected.
No one knows.
The noble shook his head.
I went to find it and eliminate the threat.
By yourself?
Ravi gaped at him with obvious disbelief.
I'm a noble of the sword, he said with his chin jutted out proudly. I can handle a lousy beast on my own. I've slayed dozens of monsters from around the crawl, and I knew I could handle this one.
But you couldn't,
Aaliyah smirked. The lioness said exactly what I'd been thinking. Barrington seemed to think he could handle anything, despite his obvious failure to defeat the unknown beast on his anonymous mission. I was suspicious about what or who had invited him there, but his arrogance probably made him an easy target.
Well, it obviously wasn't just any beast,
Barrington retorted and crossed his arms over his chest.
I would have been just fine if it was.
Sure,
Rebecca murmured as she rolled her eyes.
You don't know,
the noble started. Just stop, I cut him off with a glare. We can all tell what kind of warrior you are, but right now, we need to get to that village and find the noble sword. Who did you speak with once you arrived at the forest?
Ah, that's where things get a little hazy, he said and rubbed his head. I'll reach a tree line and I'll woke up here. That's it? I blinked at him for a moment. You didn't even make it to the village to check on those people? No. Barrington shook his head and pouted. I didn't find the beast or even the person who sent me the letter. Great, I grumbled as I looked out the window at the waning sunlight. All right, we'll head out first thing tomorrow. It's too late to search the forest tonight. I'll be ready by dawn, Barrington declared. Ready to sit in bed, I presume, Nike scoffed. You can't go anywhere in your condition. I'm fine now, the older noble insisted. You guys healed me, remember? No, we brought you out of the coma, I said. You still don't have your memories of the attack, and your body has been asleep for weeks. You can't possibly return to battle tomorrow. You'll need me to find a sword, he pointed out.
I doubt that,
Mariah spat out.
She's probably pissed you lost her.
She won't go with any of you, Barrington argued, before his voice dropped to a mumble. She barely wants to go fight with me. What do you mean? I demanded. Tira doesn't like when I access the noble sword power, he explained with a huff. She doesn't say anything, but I can feel it. And as soon as the battle is over, she leaves my spiritual sea and goes to the spirit realm. She doesn't talk to me or anything.
I'm sure you improved that relationship by losing her,
Juniper said in an icy voice.
I didn't mean to, Barrington pleaded. You have to believe me. I wouldn't be surprised if she figured out a way to leave me on her own.
I was shocked he had such a terrible experience with the spirit of his sword. Mariah and I had been close from the moment we met. I could share every thought with her, and she gave me guidance at every turn, even before we became lovers. I couldn't understand how Tira could be so different. Then the disgraced noble's words set off a new line of thinking. What if Tira didn't want to be with him because he wasn't the right master? Or rather, mistress? I glanced over to see Anastasia staring at her brother with a mixture of sympathy and frustration. I imagine she was used to his tantrums when things didn't go his way, and they were about to get even worse for him if I was right. I don't think a noble spirit would do that, I assured him. I think something else is at work here, but unfortunately you still can't go with us. I do have another solution to find the sword, though.
What is it?
Aliona asked with a twinkle of mischief in her eye. So the princess seemed to have come to the same conclusion I had. We can take Anastasia, I announced.
What? Barrington shrieked. No! She gave up her connection to the Sword of the Land! She can't go! I deserve to go!
The noble had his fists clenched at his sides, while his face turned cherry red.
You don't deserve shit, I hissed, before I turned to his sister.
Would you be able to leave in the morning with us?
I'm sure I could get my things together,
she sputtered.
But why? What could I do?
Even though you aren't the acting noble of the sword, you still have the bloodline ability and link to her power,
Aliona explained.
You should be able to help us find her.
That's ridiculous!
Barrington snorted before Anastasia could answer.
She hasn't even touched a sword in years!
I'll still hurt her,
Anastasia nearly whispered.
Every time you return from battle, I could feel her relief to be home.
Is that why you didn't know he was back?
Aliona asked in a gentle voice.
You never heard Tira call out to you?
I guess so.
The elf woman nodded and then dropped her head to her chest.
I would have been here to check on him if I'd known.
Oh, yeah, right,
Barrington scoffed.
If you really...
I've heard enough from you, I thundered, as I whirled around to grab the worthless noble by the throat and pressed his weak body against the headboard.
Your disrespectful fits have hit my last fucking nerve. You don't deserve a noble sword. And if I have anything to do with it, you won't be able to call yourself a noble of the sword ever again.
A satisfied silence fell over the room, until Barrington finally nodded his head. Then I released my grip and fell back onto the bed with a gasp for air as he pawed at his injured throat.
I'll just go start gathering my things,
Anastasia said as she started for the door. Yes, do that, I agreed, as I took a deep breath to compose myself. We need somewhere to meet in the morning. And somewhere to stay for tonight, Nike pointed out with a grim smile.
Oh, if I had the room, I'd offer my home.
Anastasia frowned and looked to her feet.
But since I'm no longer a noble and have no immediate family, I only took a small house.
We understand,
Ravi said with a kind smile.
Is there an inn?
You shouldn't have to stay there,
the elf woman insisted before she pinned her brother with a hard stare.
Especially not when there's so much room here.
Yeah, sure,
Barrington said in a hoarse voice, and he grimaced as he swallowed.
I'll have 3 or 4 empty rooms upstairs. Go ahead.
Thanks, I replied. We'll leave you to get some rest. He rolled over in his bed and pulled the blankets up to his chin, and I rolled my eyes at the noble's petulance before I motioned for everyone to go into the living room.
I'll return at dawn,
Anastasia whispered.
I hope I can help.
I'm sure you can, I reassured her. We have some experience with the noble swords and their spirits.
I can see that.
The elf woman smiled at the three sisters before she waved, turned around, and glided out the front door.
I much prefer her to her brother,
Mariah said in a low voice.
He's an imbecile.
On that, we can agree, I murmured. Let's get some sleep. Who knows what the hell we're going to find tomorrow. We traipsed up the staircase to a long landing and spread out to find bedrooms. It seemed Barrington had been underestimating his space since we found 5 empty bedrooms, and it wasn't long before each of my lovers paired up and chose a place to sleep. Isabella and Skye flitted to one room, while Aaliyah and Rebecca made their way to another. Ravi and Mariah scuttled into the room nearest the one Laika and Aliona had claimed for us, and Nike waved as he headed into the bedroom at the other end of the long hallway.
At least Lord Barrington has comfy beds for his guests, even if he's rather prickly himself,
Aliona commented as she plopped onto the queen-sized mattress.
Yeah, I think we'll sleep well here,
Laika said and sat next to the princess to begin taking off her boots. I watched as slivers of cream and bronze skin peeked out from beneath their clothes while they prepared for bed, and my blood rushed south. We won't be sleeping for a while, I growled before I pounced. When we finally fell asleep, it was completely dark outside, and I was exhausted. I was a little wary of falling asleep after the Demon King visited my last dream, but I needed the rest. I didn't know if he could hurt me in his projections, so I had to be ready for anything. It felt like only a few hours had passed when Aliona gently shook me awake. The sun was just beginning to creep over the horizon, which meant Anastasia would be here any minute to accompany us to the Larthen Forest. I was relieved to have had normal dreams, but it made me wonder what the Demon King was up to. A weight dropped into the pit of my stomach as I climbed out of bed and began to dress for the day. I had no idea what the Demon King was planning, but I was sure I'd find out soon. We met everyone else in the hallway just as a light knock sounded at the front door. Ravi scurried down the steps to let Anastasia in, and we all glanced into Barrington's room to see he was still fast asleep. I motioned for everyone to go outside before he awoke, and we filed out the door to the front yard.
I suppose it's easier that he doesn't see us leave,
Anastasia murmured.
Yeah, we don't need any more of his tantrums,
Aaliyah snorted as her golden tail whipped around behind her.
He seems rather used to always getting his way,
Isabella said with a grim smile.
He is,
Anastasia sighed.
Especially since he became the noble of the sword, which I blame myself for. Anyway, what's done is done.
Then let's get moving, I nodded and looked at Aliona. Do you know where to open the portal?
Yes, I saw it on Jensen's map,
the princess said.
Is everyone ready?
A portal?
Anastasia covered her mouth in shock.
I've never traveled that way. Is it safe?
Perfectly fine,
Aliona assured her.
Like walking through a doorway.
Well, I suppose I'll have to trust you on that,
the elf woman murmured.
Indeed,
my wife chuckled.
Here we go.
With that, she began to open the portal to the Larthen Forest,
and seconds later the bright white sparks of her power had opened the gateway to our destination. The princess and I stepped through the opening, and the rest of our party was right behind us. My boots crunched against the dry leaves of the forest floor, and I realized my wife had created the portal exactly on the edge of the Larthan forest. I could see the edge of the tree line on either side of us, and nothing but huge trunks ahead. The unfortunately familiar stench of the breach hovered in the air, and I knew we were close to the southern edge of the tear. I shook my head and focused on the forest ahead of us. The trees reminded me of the extraordinary sequoia trees I'd read about when I was a kid, with their immense widths and heights. All of us could have joined hands around one of their bases and still not be able to go all the way around. The trees towered overhead, and I looked up to see bright yellow leaves above us. It felt like autumn as we looked at the unique terrain around us. Brightly colored birds and other creatures flitted around the branches, and even the ground right next to us, and they didn't seem worried about our appearance at all.
Now what?
Mariah wondered. I suppose we should head north, I said with a shrug. Barrington said the village was on the northern edge of the forest. We're going to have to talk to the people and figure out what this beast is before we can defeat it, and they may know where the sword went. My group agreed, and we began the journey through the forest to find the village that had reached out to Barrington for help. It didn't take us long to reach the edge of the forest, but I didn't see any village. We were on the northwest corner of the wooded area, so we still had plenty of ground to cover. I led my people along the edge of the Larthan forest toward what I hoped would be a city with people willing to talk to us about the beast and who had summoned Barrington to help them.
Do you think the beast lives in the forest?
Lyca asked as we walked along the tree line. No idea, I said with a shrug. Whatever it is, we can handle it.
Unlike my brother,
Anastasia scoffed.
He thinks he can handle anything that comes his way, but he's lucky his ego didn't get him killed this time. I figured it would happen one day.
And you never tried to challenge him again for the sword? I asked.
Our parents would have disapproved,
she said.
I was never as intense as he was about it, and they said it was for the best to let him take Tira. They seemed sure, so I went with it.
So, you never formally conceded?
Mariah looked at Anastasia with curiosity.
I guess not.
Anastasia frowned and rubbed her chin.
I basically handed him the sword of the land when our family said to. It didn't seem as important to me as it was to him.
Then there's hope,
the spirit mused. It seemed Aliona and I weren't the only ones who felt the sword of the land may still belong with Anastasia, and Mariah was already working on an idea to get the sword back to her rightful mistress.
There!
Rebecca called out and pointed ahead of us. Through a break in the trees, I could see a smattering of small huts that looked like they'd experienced a small earthquake. The soil between the buildings was torn apart, and several of the huts were falling over. A few people stood outside the building surveying the damage, and they all whirled around to face us as we approached.
Who are you?
One of the men demanded as he put a hand on the sword at his hip.
What do you want?
As we got closer, I realized the villagers were also elves, and I glanced at the trees above us to check for more archers before I answered.
I'm Lord Evan, noble of the Sword of Healing. I introduced myself and gestured to my own blade, then to Nike. And this is Lord Nikolaus, noble of the Sword of Light. We were told you had an issue with a beast.
We requested the noble of the Sword of the Land,
he insisted, before the woman next to him elbowed him in the ribs.
But I suppose you'll do.
Lord Barrington came to find the beast a few weeks ago, I explained carefully. He was attacked and sent back to Capacia to heal his injuries. Do you know what happened to him?
Oh!
The woman gasped and covered her mouth.
We don't know anything about an attack, my lord. I swear it.
I believe you, I assured her. I'd just like to know what's going on here so we can help you.
My name is Fralia,
the elf woman said with a low bow.
My husband is Leodion Nopo, but everyone calls him Leo.
Thank the gods,
Aaliyah muttered.
I would never be able to remember that name.
My wife is the only one who can, Leo chuckled. I'm sorry we were abrupt with you.
We've endured a trying time with the monster for the past few months, and the whole synod has been looking for a solution.
Synod? I repeated, with what I imagined was a blank stare.
Os,
Fralia explained, as she gestured to the other elves with her and Leo.
The five of us make the decisions for the village, so we're the ones who reached out to Lord Barrington for help. We're very sorry to hear about his injury, but it must have happened on his trip here.
I see, I said, before I turned to look around at the damage to their village. So did the beast do all this?
Yes, Leo sighed. It seems to live underground or travel that way. We're not really sure. It tears through the soil as though swimming through water. Our crops are destroyed and many of the buildings have suffered irreparable damage.
Does it only pop up here?
Lyca asked as she touched the raised soil and sniffed it.
It doesn't even truly leave the ground,
Fralia said with a frown.
We've never seen the beast itself. We only hear it and see the ground torn asunder as it travels.
Which way does its trail lead? I asked.
To the east, Leo answered, and pointed past the village. None of us have ever dared to follow its trail, but we can see when it leaves us and goes that way.
Okay, we'll figure this out for you, I promised. Then we'll come back and let you know what we found.
Thank you,
Fralia gushed, and the other elves nodded their agreement. You're welcome, I replied, before I led my group past the destroyed village and further east toward the beast's last known whereabouts.
My lord, this damage reminds me of a beast I encountered a few years ago on a mission,
Lyca said as we walked along the trees.
It hunted underground and disrupted several cities in the desert near the Crimson Canyons. It took days to finally kill the thing. What was it?
Aliona asked.
An Inzoka,
the wolf demi-human said.
It looks like a giant snake?
Ravi cut in as she pointed ahead of us. About 50 yards away, a huge serpent's head lay sprawled on the ground. As we got closer, I realized the head was still attached to a body as thick as a tree trunk, with shiny yellow scales as large as my head. The Inzoka had wrapped part of its slinky form around several of the trees in the forest, while its head was just barely exposed from the tree line.
That's it,
Lyca whispered with a nod.
Why did it take so long to catch it? I asked under my breath.
Because it kept burrowing,
she said. Great, I muttered. We'll have to sneak up on it. We crept closer to the beast while we drew our swords, but suddenly its neon yellow eyes flashed open, and its forked tongue was nearly 3 feet long when it shot out of the Inzoka's mouth with a hiss. So much for sneaking. It unraveled from the trees and slithered toward us with its head at least 10 feet above ours. Flaps of skin flung out from around its head like a cobra, but the interior of the flaps was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Dozens and dozens of little serpent eggs were attached to the flaps of skin, and they rattled and hissed with their mother, as though they'd attack us if they got the chance too. While my attention was momentarily drawn to the eggs, it quickly returned to the Inzoka's opening mouth and the fangs that dripped a nasty-looking venom. I stood in front of the others and motioned for them to fall back. If I got bit by the Inzoka, I'd heal instantly, as well as return the favor with my own poisonous blood, though I wasn't sure how the venom would affect me until I was healed.
Go for its eyes,
Lyca called out.
We can help you once it's blind.
The eyes, I muttered. Just above the venom-filled fangs. Got it.
I sprinted toward the serpent, but it seemed taken aback by my direct approach. The Inzoka tucked its flaps back into its skin, lifted its head a few inches higher, and then plunged into the ground at my feet. Shit. The ground rippled underneath us as the Inzoka tore a circle in the dirt and made a run for it in the other direction. It was far enough underground that I couldn't stab it with my sword, but it wasn't faster than me, so I kept pace next to the serpent and worked to devise a plan. I needed the beast above ground to kill it, but it seemed pretty intent on staying below the surface while I was here. Then the Inzoka took a sudden turn toward me, and I nearly tripped over the freshly raised ground as it cut a new path to the left. I jabbed my blade into the ground, but the serpent was still several feet below the surface, and the sword hit nothing but soil. If I couldn't get through the dirt, I'd just have to move it. I focused my earthquake magic on the open space in front of the Inzoka, and the ground beneath me began to shake even harder. Suddenly, a huge crack opened in the soil, and I caught a glimpse of yellow scales.
"Gotcha, you slimy bitch!" I growled.
I stabbed the sword of Hatra into the gap and felt the blade dig into the Inzoka's scaly flesh. My blade ripped through the last few feet of its body as it tried to slither away, and then the beast tore a hole in the ground as its head emerged in front of me. The Inzoka hissed angrily before it bared its fangs and lowered its head to strike. I plunged my sword up toward its mouth, but it dodged the blade just in time to avoid injury. Its head whooshed by me as it narrowly avoided smashing into the ground, and it lifted up to strike me again. I tried a different approach as its head bore down on me, and I sliced toward the Inzoka's fangs, but it again avoided my swing and hissed with rage. The serpent seemed pretty quick to avoid my sword, but I doubted it could avoid every weapon I had at my disposal. I sheathed my sword and conjured a fiery bow and arrow as the beast loomed over me. Then I focused on one of its eyes and released the arrow. The flaming projectile soared directly into the Inzoka's right eye, and this time, its hiss was of pain instead of anger. A bright crimson river trickled from the serpent's fresh wound, and it didn't even seem to be able to focus on me. I quickly loaded another arrow and shot the beast's other eye, which resulted in another howl of agony.
"You got it!"
Laika exclaimed as she and Nike sprinted up behind me.
"Let's finish it off."
I pulled the Sword of Healing out again, and the three of us divided and conquered. We slashed and stabbed the Inzoka until its head crashed to the ground with a finalizing thud. The yellow-scaled beast laid in a pool of scarlet blood without moving, and I crept carefully toward the flaps near its head.
"Did the eggs die too?" I wondered.
"Yes. They need the mother's blood to survive until they hatch,"
Laika confirmed.
"I feel a little bad about killing the babies," Nike admitted with a frown.
"Don't,"
the wolf warrior insisted.
"Those little bloodthirsty things would have done their hunting above ground and killed anyone who got in their way. The adults are at least cunning enough to hunt one human at a time. I wouldn't be surprised if the villagers didn't even realize a few of their own are missing."
"Damn," I said with a grimace. "This Inzoka thing is kind of an asshole."
"Very much so,"
Laika agreed.
"Unfortunately, getting rid of it didn't seem to reveal the Sword of the Land's location," I said, as I turned around to search for the rest of the group.
"Where's everyone else?"
"Looking for the sword," Nike answered. "They thought it might be somewhere near where the Inzoka was sleeping when we got here."
"We'd better go check on them," I said, and stalked back toward the Larthan Forest. When we reached the Inzoka's former nest, I saw Juniper, Anya, and my lovers had begun to poke around the forest to search for the Sword of the Land. It didn't seem like anyone had found it yet, so the rest of us joined in. As the sun rose higher in the sky, we looked under every bush, rock, and leaf that could possibly conceal the blade, but we didn't find anything.
"Well, don't even hear her,"
Anastasia finally groaned.
"How do we know she's here somewhere?"
"Maybe we should keep searching on the other side of the village,"
Ravi suggested.
"They hadn't seen him, so maybe he didn't make it this far."
"Good idea,"
Mariah agreed as she and her sisters began a quick jog back toward the village. The rest of us followed behind, and when we reached the small collection of huts, the Synod greeted us with hopeful, questioning expressions.
"The beast is dead," I announced with a smile. "You can rebuild without worry."
"Thank you."
Fralia clasped her hands together and dropped to her knees in front of me.
"How can we repay this great debt?"
"Just make sure everyone knows Lord Evan and Lord Nikolaus helped your people," I said. "That's all we ask."
"Then we shall spread the word,"
Leo vowed, as he put his fist over his chest. I nodded to the elves and then motioned for everyone to continue on our search. I was happy to help the village, but we needed to get to the sword before anyone else did. Part of me worried someone or something had already gotten a hold of it, but I pushed the thought aside. We had to find her. It seemed like every place we looked, the Spirit Sisters became even more bleak and desperate. They'd gone from hopeful to worried to sad within a matter of hours, and it had begun to look like we weren't even searching in the right place.
"Okay, let's take a break," I finally said,
when we reached the west end of the forest again. "We all need some water and probably food, or we won't be able to function enough to find her."
"We don't need food or water,"
Anya insisted.
"We can keep looking."
"Lord Evan is right,"
Juniper sighed.
"I want to find Tira just as badly as you do, but we won't do any good if we're all tired."
"I have some snacks in my spatial storage,"
Aliona said with a smile.
"And some water, too."
"Are there any more weird foods?"
Lyca grinned.
"No, just fruits and bread,"
Aliona giggled.
"We can take 10 minutes to catch our breaths and eat."
"I'm so sorry, m'lady,"
Mariah groaned.
"I'm sure you're even more exhausted than the rest of us."
"It's okay, dear sister,"
my wife replied as she began to hand out the food.
"I know you're upset. I understand."
"I have an idea,"
Anya gasped.
"What if we search the spiritual realm?"
"Ooh, yes,"
Mariah agreed with a grin.
"If Tira is close, we should be able to find her there. Then we can use her spiritual location to get closer to the sword."
"You do that and we'll wait here," I said. "I don't think the Iudices would appreciate my popping up in the spiritual realm."
"Probably not,"
Mariah chuckled.
"We'll be back before you know it."
With that, the three sisters disappeared in the blink of an eye to search the spiritual realm. They seemed confident in their plan, so the rest of us had to be patient until they returned. Time to resort to small talk. "So, Anastasia, how long were you the noble of the sword?" I asked the elf woman.
About 10 years,
she said with a grim smile.
"I trained longer than I actually did the work, but I knew my brother wanted to do it."
"Did you train together?"
Sky wondered.
"Mostly, yes,"
Anastasia confirmed.
"When I was old enough to take over the duties of the sword from our father, I left. But Barry stayed to keep training. He was obsessed with the whole thing. I just felt like I was supposed to do it."
"You didn't feel like you were meant to?"
the Naiad Nepin asked, with a degree of surprise in her voice.
"I've always felt Tira and I were meant to be close,"
Anastasia hedged.
"I just assumed it was because I had the power in my blood. I never enjoyed the missions the way Barry does."
My eyes narrowed on the elf woman. I couldn't understand how someone could be meant for such great power but be willing to hand it off because someone else liked it more. It made no sense to me. "Well, I know we haven't really talked about why we came to Capacia, but I suppose now is as good a time as any," I said. "I've been meeting with all the nobles of the swords over the past couple weeks to help me close the breach. It's mostly in Rama, but you can smell it from here."
"Is that what it is?"
Anastasia asked as she cocked her head to the side.
"I wondered if it was the trees or that big snake."
"Yeah, it's the breach," I confirmed. "And it's currently being sealed by King Rodion, but his seal won't hold forever. If it breaks, we'll have the entire underworld unleashed on our realm, and millions would die."
"That sounds terrible."
The elf woman frowned and rubbed her chin.
"But what does it have to do with me?"
Other than your almost certain death, there's a way for you to help me stop it," I continued. "There's a ceremony called Redeemi Vincio, and it would give me access to your bloodline power with the Sword of the Land. The whole thing doesn't take long, but when it's time for me to close the breach, I'll be able to use your power with the others to do it."
"And you've actually talked other nobles into doing this?"
Anastasia gaped at me in disbelief. "Yes, including Sky and Lord Nikolaus. Well, actually, his uncle's mom." I pointed to Nike, who nodded his head. "It's a long story. Anyway, I can't bond with men, so your brother is out. But you have the bloodline."
"So I'm your only option?"
she asked and furrowed her brow. "As far as I know," I said. "It's easy, I promise."
"Yeah, that doesn't sound like anything I can do,"
Anastasia murmured.
"I can ask my parents if there's anyone else, though."
"What?" I stuttered as the elf woman offered a blank stare. What do you mean you can't do it?"
"I mean, I'm not some big, important warrior, and I gave up my claim to the noble sword,"
she replied with a shrug.
"I don't do these missions and stuff anymore. I only came on this one because I care about Tira."
"You don't care about your life or the lives of your people?"
Sky cut in with a glare.
If the breach continues to destroy the King's Seal, we're talking about everyone in Enoti being in danger. Your people in Copacia and all of Ekral could be brutally killed by a horde of demons. Then my brother can fight them off,
Anastasia said.
It sounds like he really needs a sword now. He's going to need more than one noble sword,
Sky argued as her face reddened with frustration.
The ceremony isn't just about you. And besides, if you think you can't do anything to help, shouldn't you try to prove you're better than that? Don't you want to be someone whose life matters?
Her words seemed to strike a chord with the Lady Elf, and Anastasia paused for a moment as she collected her thoughts.
I suppose I can think about it,
she finally sighed.
Maybe I can do more than I thought.
Before any of us could respond, the Spirit Sisters reappeared out of thin air. The trio was out of breath, and Mariah stumbled over to grab me as I rose from the ground to catch her. What happened? I demanded. Are you all right?
Yeah, we're fine,
she gasped.
But we have bad news.